Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Here in about 15 minutes, we'll get to what now looks like a long shot for any of the local schools to suddenly make the college football playoff, which is a bummer. All this buildup all year, I thought all three had a great chance. There's only one school that still has a chance, and it got a lot tougher after the weekend. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's keep talking Royals here a little bit, as well as Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us in studio. We were talking Michael Wacha extension. You were just at the press conference. In general, did you think they were going to get this done? It seemed like it was trending in that direction. George Brett was on with Fesco and Dusty Friday, and he's like, oh yeah, he's coming back.
You knew that Michael Wacha enjoyed his time in Kansas City, being an Iowa guy, being a Midwest guy, his family all within driving distance. You knew that he enjoyed it. Obviously, his performance warranted the Royals' desire to bring him back. The question was, would the Royals once again back up the type of money that it would take to bring in one of the most consistent right-handers in Major League Baseball over the past half decade? And once again, for the second straight offseason, John Sherman, whatever it takes, you know, to continue to put a winner on the field, to me, it's a no-brainer on both sides, right? It's not as if Wacha gave you any sort of a hometown discount.
No, 3 years.
You paid the price.
You paid the price, and in a league where there is no salary cap, I don't really care what the price is. If Sherman's okay paying it, it makes the team better. It's a big thumbs up for me and a no-brainer for Wacha and his family.
I think the easy part is the way I viewed it, Vern, is like this is like bigger picture stuff, but Lugo, Reagans, Wacha, Singer still, which we'll ask about in a minute, I thought the Royals knew internally they need a couple of years with the pitching system before it's like, oh, we turn and burn these guys, and the next guy from AAA replaces the starter we just got rid of. I think they know they need time before they can fully turn into that as a pitching staff.
Sure.
So, like, this secures the fact that they're a good pitching staff for a couple of years while they continue to try to make playoff runs.
Yeah, that's certainly the hope, is that Wacha and Lugo and Singer will maintain what they did this year. I think Reagans, you don't have concerns, as he's younger than all of them and nastier than all of them. Although, you know, if I'm stacking up those top four starters, next to Reagans, Wacha might be the one I'm most confident in duplicating what he did in 2024 again in 2025. But yeah, there's no argument that Chris Bubich, Daniel Lynch, Alec Marsh, Chandler Champlain, Noah Cameron, that the guys that are next in the organization aren't ready for 2025, unless we're going to have some sort of a built-in excuse. And honestly, that to me is what this deal today eliminates, is that so easy excuse as to why this team was going to take a step back in 2025. Well, when you lose a clubhouse pro, and I heard Q say this a few times over the course of the season, and I would echo it, and obviously it means more coming from Q, but from my perspective, I really can't remember another starting pitcher to come through Kansas City, or really any other that I've covered in my time around Major League Baseball, that just checks every single box of how to be an absolute professional. In between starts, the day of his starts, communicating with the media, with his teammates, motivating guys, working with the guys, being Michael Wacha is just the perfect teammate, and I think the perfect match here in Kansas City. But yeah, eventually you would like to get to a place where you don't have to break off $16, $17 million for 1 year.
I also thought it was big because this was a pretty healthy rotation last year. Wacha was like the only guy that ended up on the IL, and it was for what, like a week and a half or something.
Yeah, just a quick broken foot.
That's all. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
He pitched his ass off with a broken foot.
That's right. Yeah. Like, so they were really healthy. You always wonder, like, you know, whether it's regression or just even health regression to some extent. This to me allows you to have some more depth, not just off of performance, but look, there's a decent chance somebody in that rotation is going to be out for a little bit next year. Yeah. And so if you were already down to three guys you could trust, then you just get thinner and thinner. They're just much deeper by having Waka back in a variety of ways.
Yeah, and it's wild when you look at last year's team and how many guys met or exceeded expectations. And for the most part, you're running that thing back again next year. Now you're expecting, and I heard you mention this earlier in the show, the bullpen on opening day 2025 should be far superior to the bullpen in 2024. Yes. So if there is any sort of regression from a Lugo, from a Singer, from an Alec Marsh, you're hoping that the bullpen could offset that. But as far as the innings that were logged by a Cole Reagans, by a Michael Waka, I think I'm going to need those to be duplicated. I don't know if I'm banking on 200 from Seth Lugo again. And like you mentioned with the injury, whether that's Singer, Waka, Reagans, whoever ends up finding themselves on the IL for a few weeks, to me, hopefully it's not as damaging as it was this past season, because when they lost Michael Waka for that week and a half, they were a shell of themselves. To me, that was the one stretch that you kind of just throw out. The Dodgers series, the Yankees series, where they dominated the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. You kind of throw all that stuff out. So when you factor in the likely injuries, you feel better about having Michael Waka, but you also feel better about that renewed belief in the bullpen that I think a lot of Royals fans will have on opening day.
What's the next move? Do they need to move Singer to get the leadoff hitter, middle of the order, corner outfielder guy they want? Or is it just pay for that pleasure? Obviously, I don't think they're signing Juan Soto next week, but like, what is the next move for the Royals? They've openly said they want another bat. They'd like some leadoff protection.
An on-base bat, no question. Yeah, that to me would be the next move. And, you know, I almost brought this up to JJ today when I asked him about John Sherman and the role that Sherman played in this. And, you know, as soon as the season was done, Sherman goes to JJ and says, hey, the reason, and obviously JJ knows this, the reason why we're here is the pitching. So whatever it takes, we're down to bring Michael Waka back. So there was no impediment from ownership. And Cody, that question that you asked, again, reminds me of the old mindset in Kansas City that, again, when this offseason started, I'm still in that old mindset of course, Michael Waka is going to deny that player option. He's going to go to free agency and someone else is going to pay him 3 years at $51 million. Right. He's too good to get three and 51. Someone's going to give it to him. Well, now that's the Royals. So, no, I don't think you need to trade Brady Singer to offset the 16, 17, $18 million that Michael Waka is going to be bringing in. Now, I think you can hang on to Brady Singer. You can trade him at the deadline. You can trade him next offseason if you need to. But the next move to me, would be an on-base bat, but you need to look a little bit deeper than that, because I don't know if there's an everyday spot right now that is open on this team. So when we cast out that line for the free agents, the names that you're looking for at to me are not guys that are expecting 145 starts, expecting 400 plus at bats. Because when you look at this team, right, you know, Vinny and Salvi and Freddie and Bobby, right? Massey, I think everyone agrees, is the second baseman. JJ was going on and on about Michael Garcia and their belief in him and their belief in MJ Melendez in left. We like Izzy in center. Renfro, you have to pay him as he picks up his option. So maybe you can bring in someone to platoon with MJ, someone to platoon with Garcia or Renfro. But as far as here's the third base job, here's the second base job, I don't see him bringing in that caliber of player. So I don't see them spending that amount of money. Right, because to bring in an everyday guy, that's $10 to $15 million.
Because you've seen the names that fans have floated out, you know, Teoscar Hernandez and some other, like, doesn't seem all that realistic.
Every team should want Teoscar Hernandez after goodness. That performance. I mean, a Ha-Seong Kim, I think, would be just outstanding on this team.
But he's going to get a ton of, he's the most sought after middle infielder in baseball, maybe, that's available, right?
And if you're the Royals, I'm not interested in going much beyond a 2-year deal, maybe with a mutual option for three. So when you're talking about the top free agents available, I can't imagine many of them are interested in a platoon role for a 2-year deal.
Would you entertain trading Singer? Like, cause I like, just from a standard standpoint of like, teams typically trade pitchers early. I feel like I'd hold on to at least a year. Like, to have him under control, 25, 6, and 7. Like,
I think it's only two. I think there's only two more years. He's already had 2 years of arbitration. He's a super two, so he has
two more. Okay.
So he has this year arbitration. Last year he made almost 4.5, so you would expect that to jump to $7 to $8 million this year. Maybe $9-10 million in 2026. The only reason I'm open to trading Brady Singer is if you're trying to dump salary. And there's nothing that I've seen from John Sherman over the years that leads me to believe that he's interested in dumping salaries, interested in putting up pennants, hopefully. You're better with Brady Singer on your team. Of course, you entertain it. If the right deal comes along, and I think JJ and this front office have earned the leniency. You see something in James MacArthur. You see something in Lucas Erceg. You see something in fill in the blank in another organization. Yeah, pull the trigger. But if they ask me, no, I want to hang on to Brady Singer and go for this division title.
Lastly for you, they're just now announcing season awards in baseball. It's my biggest, it drives me crazy. We wait till mid-November for MVP award. We wait for mid-November for Silver Slugger. What?
And they think it's a big deal with how they do it over the week. They're like, oh, Mondays.
Yeah,
this
day by day. What are we doing? Yeah,
should announce it during the playoffs. It's a regular season
Why not
award.
Announce? They did the Roberto Clemente award. Obviously, Salvi got it this year, which is great. They do that in the middle of the World Series. Why can't they do the MVP award the same way? Honestly, is there a real reason?
No, I can't imagine there's a real reason. I think it's a TV show.
They do the MVP for the Super Bowl the two nights before, whatever, at the NFL honors.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, baseball's trying to poorly copy the NFL into making every award a show on its network, on MLB Network. You got to tune in to watch Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani's reaction to winning the MVP. My frustration is American League, National League. We can do away with that now.
Oh, just entire MVP, league MVP. I don't hate
that.
You
don't have Eastern Conference, Western Conference,
can
AFC,
they wait till
NFC?
After Bobby wins one and then we can do that? Can we wait till Bobby gets his first one?
Because otherwise, Shohei might just win it every year.
Yeah, we need to wait. Can we wait till Bobby gets his first MVP? Then we can just do an MLB MVP award.
But won't we get to the place where you get Mahomes fatigue or LeBron fatigue where, yeah, they should win it every year, but they don't, right? Shohei should win it. Aaron Judge should win it. To me, it's antiquated in that we don't do it in any other sport, split it up, because we no longer split it up like we used to back in the 70s where you didn't see anybody in the National League.
That's true.
It should be one America or
like
one
that.
Major League Baseball.
That makes a lot of sense. Vern, good to have you in studio, man.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the offseason. I wondered if we could call this hot stove or not. Is it too early?
No. It's not that chilly out. You got to play for me real quick for tonight? Is that coming up later?
Well, we can. I think
can
Kareem
it.
Hunt over rushing yards, Kate Otten over receiving yards.
Thank you very much.
There you go, Vern.
All right, appreciate it.
And hopefully you can legally bet in Missouri coming up and starting in a few days. At least it'll be
don't
legalized.
Ruin this for me.
Hopefully.
Okay,
tomorrow, just saying, tomorrow, vote yes on Amendment 2 if you want sports betting legalized in the state of Missouri.
Gold there was even one wants thing, it. He doesn't live in Missouri. Yeah. He just wants to be able to bet at a Chiefs game.
Yeah, I want to be able to go to Arrowhead tonight. And eventually actually make a wager. Go to Kauffman, make a wager. Go to the downtown ballpark in the future or whatever, if that's where they're going to play, and bet on it. While we were talking to Vern, and I don't know, Drew, if you saved the drop, but the text line's requesting a new drop. Considering your comment a week or so ago about pleasure, I guess I didn't catch it live. Cody, we were talking to Vern, and multiple people texted in and says, please cut the drop of Cody saying pay for pleasure. And
I said that?
I guess. I need to hear it.
That's unfortunate.
It was during. You're going to have to go back and listen to that, Drew. I think it was when Cody was talking about trading Singer or something, or like paying. Yeah, it was something pay for pleasure.
I regret that turn of phrase.
Pay for pleasure?
Really? I didn't catch it.
We call that something. There's a difference.
How the dots connect sometimes.
I don't know.
You can legally do that in Vegas, I think, in some places.
Certain counties, I think, or something. So I'm told. I don't know.
So you're told.
I'm not sure.
Rumor has it.
I don't know. You know, thinking of Scott Parks over at KMBZ literally came up to me on Friday after the show. He was like, how was Vegas? I was like, oh, it was great. And he's like, you ever pay for an escort? I go, no.
What the hell?
I go, no, Parks. The fact that he would ask me that question, I was insulted.
Kind of.
I was insulted.
Then it's so bad you got to pay for it?
I was like, no. I go, I have people that message me. I don't need that.
Pay for an escort?
That's never happened.
That's a bold question from Parks.
Yeah, Scott Parks.
Did you tell him the other story from Vegas?
I did. Okay. He was not happy with me.
Oh, really?
He goes, the dad in Scott Parks. A disappointed, yeah, that's what disappointed it was. Dad Scott Parks. Mm. That's what
he's like. Were you still talking? I go,
no,
because it's what it is. What it is. He's like, he couldn't believe it.
Guffawed.
Like, come on, come on. All right, let's talk a little college football while Drew maybe gets a drop of that later on in the show. Coming into this season, we were all excited about all three local schools. All three, I know it may sound silly now, but there was real reasons for all three to have belief that they could make the college football playoff. Then, of course, KU quickly was eliminated from that. Missouri did their part in eliminating themselves with their performance. Also, quarterback injury did not help. Kansas State, I don't think, has eliminated themselves.
Really?
They Houston have one stinks. Path.
Technically,
they,
not yet.
They have one path. One
win
path
the Big 12
now.
Title game?
Now they do not have a way to get there unless they win the Big 12. They had a bad loss down in Houston to the Cougars over the weekend. I mean, that was a really bad loss. And so their only path now requires them winning out, and they need some help to get to the Big 12 title game. That's their issue. It's a tough path now. They don't control their own destiny or anything like that. I don't think you can say they're eliminated, because if they were to beat Iowa State and Colorado were to drop a game, then K-State's in the Big 12 title game in Arlington, and they've got an opportunity. But they screwed this one up big time, man.
Mathematically eliminated, no. But I'll be honest. This is the frustration with this. There are now 12 teams in the college football playoff. All three teams, fundamentally on paper, should have had a chance. And K-State lost to Houston? Houston? I watched Kansas beat them by like 5 touchdowns last week. How is that the game you come up short on? That's the question I have. And like, to me, that's all coach. College football, that's coaching. That's 100% coaching. I barely have any time for the kids to complain about performance based on that end. How the hell do you as a coach not get your team through Houston after you just got the scare from Kansas? Look, they gave you the scare, right? Wake up call all you want. Whew. Kansas almost got us. That chance for that Big 12 title. Whew. That almost slipped away. That almost felt real bad there for a minute. And then you go and lose to Houston? Like, that's embarrassing. That is an embarrassing loss. That's one of the most embarrassing losses they've had in a program in 5 years. You can't just take down Kansas in a game that is heated and a rivalry and close and then fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, they have
Missouri's,
to win out.
I think, is maybe injury, but maybe they weren't as good as I thought.
Well, yeah,
Kansas just lost every one-score game on the planet. They're just a disappointing team. They're way worse than I thought.
Yeah, the Big 12.
Kansas State had it.
The Big 12 now, unfortunately for the league as a whole, it's going to be a one-bid league. It's going to end up being a one-bid league. You're going to have to win the Big 12 title game. Right now, the favorite to do that, of course, is BYU. They're the only undefeated team. But Iowa State also, fortunately for K-State, I guess, is Iowa State also lost to Texas Tech. Otherwise, yeah, I would be with you. Then it's over.
Yeah,
over. But it's not over. It's not over because they get the head-to-head against Iowa State still, but they have to win out just to get to the Big 12 title game.
Well, they also, not only do they have to win out, they need Colorado to lose a game too.
Yeah, some of the text lines say Colorado has a tiebreaker, but I don't believe that.
Head-to-head they do, but I think Colorado's got one less conference loss.
Kansas State has the tiebreaker, but that's if they have the same,
because conference record
always trumps the overall record for whatever reason, and Colorado only have one Big 12 loss. So that would be the killer for Kansas State. They need Colorado to lose and to win out. So, I mean, there's a shot, but it's slim.
I mean, I thought we'd get one local. That's the truth. And now Big 12 looks like a one-bid league.
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of a bummer. I was there was a real chance to get one or two in the college football playoff, and now it's one, and the one team is still K-State, and it's, I think, pretty slim chances. It's not impossible. I guess you and I are you're acting like it's like a 5% chance. I think there's still a 25% chance Kansas State ends up in the Big 12 title game, as in then has a chance to get to the college football playoff.
I think their percentage is around like 20-25%.
Is it? Okay.
I think according to ESPN's FBI or whatever.
I guess the reason why I'm talking about it like it's doomsday is you could have controlled all of this. You could have controlled all of it, where the Iowa State win would have been like the nail in the coffin for getting yourself in the Big 12 title game, and you fell to Houston.
Yeah, someone says the weather was a monsoon. Both teams were playing in the same
weather. Doesn't matter. You lost the game.
I understand, and I understand that like they lost the ball as a result of that and all the other things that come in between.
And to me,
but I'm with you, Gold. I'm disappointed. I really thought we were going to get one of the local teams in a college football playoff. I told you, in the old archaic system of college football, not a single local school, in my opinion, ever had a chance to win a national title. They had no chance, 0% under the old system. They at least have a percentage chance to do it under this current system. And look, Avery Johnson's still young. They've got a good recruiting class coming in. It's not just like all she wrote for K-State for the future or anything. This was a really good opportunity year for them. In a year in which nobody was dominating the Big 12 and Iowa State went down, like, things were falling in your favor before you lost.
Yeah, text line, one scenario, yes, for not to be a one-bid league, if BYU went undefeated, then lost in the title game, yes, there's still a path potentially. But it depends on what happened, like any of this. It depends on what's going on in the SEC, what's mm-hmm. going on in the Big Ten at that point, what other scenarios are in play. The first college football playoff rankings come out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night, and the first one, who knows if it'll be. Normally, it's a lot like the AP poll with maybe some adjustments in there, but who knows what that poll is going to look like.
How's difficult BYU schedule the rest of the way?
Their schedule overall has not been very tough, which to me is very interesting. If you compare, let's say Texas A&M went out and they beat Texas. Mm-hmm. Does BYU, with one loss in the Big 12 title game, get in over a two-loss Texas A&M team who's beaten Texas? And, you know, I wonder, that's the conversation
typically
that'll happen for BYU.
Typically, it's an obvious no, they don't get in. It's the SEC versus the Big 12. They're going to side with the SEC, right?
Because, and then you look at the signature wins. What signature win would BYU have at that point? Maybe SMU?
K-State.
Yeah, BYU has Utah,
K-State,
Kansas.
Beat the hell out of Kansas State.
BYU
has a ranked team.
Utah, Kansas, Arizona State, and Houston. Well,
and if you're technically, if you're BYU, you almost hope that Kansas State wins out and then Iowa State plays you in the conference title game or something like that, mm-hmm. because you almost want your resume to look better. So you're almost rooting for Kansas State to, to keep playing well.
Yeah, and if you're a wild Kansas State Wildcat fan, you're hoping KU somehow upsets Iowa State. You should be rooting for Kansas this weekend at Arrowhead if you're a Kansas State
fan.
That's
crazy.
How gross of a feeling that is.
You should be, though. If you want, you should be. You should be doing that, though, if you're a K-State fan. I know that's
to Colorado, by the way. They got a real shot at the Big 12 title game.
You know what? Nice for them.
Props to Dion. They deserve credit. They're actually now they're not getting talked about enough. They're actually backing up the talk they once had with performance on the field, and now nobody's talking about them as much. It's kind of interesting.
And
it's weird.
Gingenti production starting to go down a little bit.
Yeah, Boise State, I think, is going to make the college football playoff as the group of five team. Navy just lost to Rice over the weekend. I really think Boise State's going to end up as the group of five rep.
I think the big question is Army. Army plays Notre Dame. If Army goes undefeated and they beat Notre Dame, I think they're in.
If they beat, it's a big if. Beating Notre Dame's still a big if.
That is the if. Because I mean, if you're comparing one loss as Boise State almost beat Oregon, so they're obviously getting the nod if it's a one loss, if it's between schools a one loss. By the way, Cody, yes, for the text line, it's funny because there's a little pause in there, too. You almost didn't want to say it.
Pay for that pleasure?
You almost caught yourself. But you said it anyways.
Searching for a word there, I guess. Is that what that was?
I think so.
Should have gone with a different word. I think Gold, you're the only person who hasn't said that word randomly as part of a regular sentence. So
no, I'm going to try to avoid that.
Next week.
I'm going to try to avoid that. Yeah, so
I think I was going for the alliteration, you know?
Yeah. Someone from the 785 said K-State actually wants Iowa State to beat Kansas, then K-State beat them to prop up the resume. Yeah, that you're assuming, though, in that scenario that K-State is in like an at-large bid. What I'm telling you is I don't think K-State can get in without winning the Big 12 title game. So I don't think the resume, oh, man, want Iowa State to keep winning so we can knock them off. And no, you need to beat Iowa State anyway, but I don't think you're getting an at-large bid. So I don't think that matters. And so you want to get into the Big 12 title game, you wouldn't mind Iowa State losing. That's all I'm saying. I don't believe the resume thing should be your worry. You're not getting in as a two-loss team out of the Big 12.
If you were a two-loss team out of the Big 12, but your loss was to Iowa State or BYU instead of Houston, maybe. But because of the loss, just no way.
Mm-hmm. All right, up next, let's get right back to the Chiefs. Chiefs getting set for the Bucs tonight. We know they're also banged up at the tight end position and why it could impact how they perform this evening. We'll also get right back into how we view the Tampa Bay Bucs and how this thing's playing out tonight.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
I was gone 2 days, so I didn't know what kind of steam I still had left. But
you were gone.
From the 816. Does Cody still want that bust of Spags? Yes, of course, obviously. Talk to my guy who does and has done multiple of them in Arrowhead's Hall of Fame. He told me this week $10,000 would be pretty close to what it costs. $10,000 is $1,009.65 heroes. Maybe an extra couple hundred for the laser eyes. Not sure if that's an upcharge. One bust of Steve Spagnuolo. straight to the Chiefs facility. We just offer it up now so I don't have to worry about getting it later.
It's so unnecessary. He should be honored
for his contributions to this team.
Hopefully going to get his own bust anyway from the Chiefs down the road and maybe becomes the first coordinator one day to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He doesn't need a $10,000 bust from you.
Sure he does.
There's so many better things that we can raise $10,000 for than a bust for Spags. At least
like
the,
what? Name one that this city would enjoy more than being able to give Steve Spagnuolo that.
Save your money for our Cody and Gold garage sale. Let's raise another 15 or 20 grand for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. I'm just saying, at least when we raised money and it was half the cost for the Creed is Good video, that was for a Rookie of the Year campaign. That changed the, frankly, I would argue, marketing-wise, Creed Humphrey's career. All of that. Creed, the band, is in town this week. I'm sure Creed will be at the concert.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Creed will be at that concert, as in Creed Humphrey.
At Creed?
Creed Humphrey will be at Creed. And
sources tell me.
Sources, rumor is, might even end up on stage Wednesday night with Creed, in Creed, as in Scott Stapp in Creed Humphrey.
Someone says, enough, Cody. Bring Bink back, Gold. They're ready to have Binkley back.
That changed in a hurry. Start of the show.
One
were,
Spags?
They were
one Spags comment?
Just like that.
Trying to fire me?
Someone says we should spend 10 grand on hemorrhoid awareness.
No, I'd rather spend it on Spags. He doesn't get enough national credit.
I think presenting him
a bronze of his face.
I'm totally on board with Spags getting some love. I mean, 2 years ago when people were critical, this show, as a matter of fact, was telling people to relax a little bit, that it's week three of the season, and historically Spags' defenses always get better. And sure enough, they got better. And this year, they were great from week one, and that's why they're off to the undefeated start that they're on. So, no, he deserves more and more love and praise. I just don't think you need to get him a bust when he's going to get one from the Chiefs or be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor one day or get acknowledged in that regard. I don't need to waste it.
What if it was something else like...
Like what, a gold watch?
No.
He's retiring?
No, not a Rolex. Like, I don't know, like a painting or I don't know, something where it's not...
I like this latest offer on the text line.
That's
a better use of the 10 grand. I love that. And it goes to charity too? Perfect. Someone says, I'll give Cody 10 grand to charity, right? If he takes one punch from Mike Tyson. Isn't that coming up this week? Isn't the Tyson, Paul, 2 weeks away?
Yeah, next week.
Perfect. Oh, it's on a Friday night.
Are you actually going to watch it?
Probably not.
That's why I was asking the 15th. I'm busy that weekend. I hope it's not that weekend. That's wedding weekend.
It sounds like you would watch it, Gold.
Of course, you
would watch it.
Yeah.
No plaque. We don't half-ass things on this show unless it's selling a box of goods from the pallet place. Everything else, you know, Gold didn't half-ass his performance in a Hallmark movie.
That's coming up later this month.
We didn't half-ass our effort for Creed is Good. A plaque is lame. Painting is stupid. That man needs a bronze. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Just make sure it's not...
Back-to-back
old dude that did a Dwayne Wade's statue. Just make sure it's not him.
Yeah, that's how this all started.
Sounds like I got a connection to the local guy who already does him for the Chiefs Hall of Fame. They're very nice there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's nice, but are we sure that it's going to be 10 grand for him to do it?
That's a lot of money for very little payoff.
I think it's a great payoff, and I don't care.
There is no payoff, though. It's the one day for 10 seconds when you get take a photo with Spags holding the bus next to him.
I don't even have to present it. You can take it.
It's just, I don't know, man.
Cody wants his name engraved, a gift from Cody Tapp.
It doesn't have to have my name on it.
That's what you want.
I already offered one. If you are a savvy business person, if Volkswagen, Lee Summit, or one of the other great sponsors of the station, if, you know, Centric, if you're a savvy business person, and you would like to put your name on the thing we present to Specs, fine. It's fine. I'm sure that can be included in there.
And Megan, why are you guys giving this to me again? I just don't think the payoff.
Four-time Super Bowl champ, three-time in this city.
Yeah.
He deserves it. Someone says they'll get him his number and he can call you. Great. I'd at least like to have a conversation. It's worth exploratory talks.
Mm-hmm.
Exploratory. Maybe he's willing to do it for less than his normal rate. For the fine people here at 96.5 The Fan, in case anybody else needs a bronze bust made later.
Someone says you never gave an answer on the 10 grand for a punch.
I mean, how are we going to get this
arranged? That's a new Cody and Gold garage sale item. And you're volunteering, it sounds like?
It's like a dunk tank, but to punch me?
Yeah, it's way more. It's $965 for each punch, okay? It's $965 for one punch.
Seems like kind of a cheap price for a punch. That better be
you'll have some face guard and stuff
okay.
on, yeah.
I was like,
How many punches do you think we could raise for the museum.
It'd be a concerning amount.
I think we'd get. I think we might. We would break a record. I think we would get at least 10 people.
If you made the $96.50,
oh, that's too cheap. That's too cheap. We might get 500 people that do that. that's too cheap.
I do think, though, that your idea, if it was presented, like if you had enough money to put a commercial out during a Chiefs game, you would have you'd have more than enough money raised for a quality bust to be made of Spags for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I think.
So I need 10 grand.
There'd be enough people who would say yes.
You guys are worried anyway. I needed 100 grand. I only need 1,000 people. We're on the FM dial. Mm-hmm. 1,000 people? It's nothing. Nothing. Speaking of the game tonight, let's move on to the offensive side of the ball.
Please.
Not C-SPAC.
Please.
I saw the multiple tight end injuries this weekend, and I know it'd be easy to just be like, okay, Wiley's got one catch. The fourth string tight end's got no catches. Does Jody Ford, right, he had like three catches. Does this matter? It does. It actually does. Not for the reasons you would typically think, but the Chiefs use four tight ends. After all the wide receivers went down, they reinvented themselves into a successful, effective run team. And they did that based on the fact that they could use their tight ends in big sets to block. Kareem Hunt is currently second in the NFL in rushing efficiency, which is, I'm sure, shocking to a number of people in the NFL. And of course, this is why I hate fantasy football. All the names in the top 10 are like Rico Dowdle and Kareem Hunt. People you like would have drafted under other people, but they are an effective run team and they use their tight ends. I do think for at least one game, this concerns me offensively until they can once again reinvent themselves again.
They'll have to get acclimated, but I will say, you know, I don't think suddenly they just are no longer able to use multiple tight end sets. Could it impact them tonight? I guess, but they already activated Peyton Hendershot, who's been with this team multiple times throughout this season. They went out and signed like Anthony Firkser, who's still in the league apparently, to be on the practice squad.
Who remember that he name? Was with the Chiefs. Nick and I had a bet on Anthony Firkser one on.
He was with
show.
The Titans for a couple years, mm-hmm. but he was also on the Chiefs in like 2017 or 2016. I think he was a training camp guy or something. Anyway, he's back with the team on the practice squad. My point is, as they get over the next week or two, I'm guessing Peyton Hendershot can fulfill some of the same blocking duties. That's what we're talking about here. Is can you have someone that can block as well as Jared Wiley was? Because the last two games heading in, Wiley had 27 offensive snaps, no targets, no yards. Jody Fortson had 29 offensive snaps, two targets, no yards. They need Peyton Hendershot to just be a strong blocking tight end. They did not lose a receiving threat. There was no receiving threat of that bunch. Maybe Jared Wiley can be that at some point in his career. It sucks in his rookie year. He tore out his ACL. I feel terrible for him.
Yes.
But from a receiving end, they didn't lose that. So if they believe Peyton Hendershot or Anthony Firkser can end up being good enough blocking tight ends, that's what this is. That's where this is not an impact. Now, if Hendershot's not successful at blocking, that'll be a problem. He's also a special teams contributor. Wiley was, and so is Pendershot. So
I just think that like Pendershot was below those guys for a reason, right? They could have chosen Pendershot instead of Jody Fortson, instead of Wiley. They chose the players they chose to be in those spots.
I'm laughing because I got you screwed up now, too. I called him Hendershot. I called him Pendershot. Now you're calling him Pendershot. Peyton Hendershot. That's my fault. I got you saying it now.
The point is, yeah, is that when you look at where their tight ends are, it actually is fundamentally how they operate as a team. Look, I don't, because I got asked earlier on Twitch. Someone had said, hey, do you think the Kareem Hunt's body can keep holding on to this? You guys worried about like the wear
Pacheco's
and tear?
Coming back soon, thing? It's like,
and that was kind of my response. What I need out of Kareem Hunt is to stay on his 2 feet long enough for Pacheco to come back, and then they can be each other's safety net from a reps perspective. You don't give too much Pacheco coming back from the injury, and you don't give too much to Hunt, who had not gotten a training camp, played much this season, all the things that come with it. They need the rushing attack. Tonight is big, too, because the Bucs stink against the run.
Yeah,
they're not
I was
good
surprised
against the run.
To see, just on a yards per carry basis, they're tied with the Giants for the worst defense in football against the run yards per carry. The Giants' defense as a whole has been good. The Bucs' defense as a whole, not bad. Overall yardage against the run, they're middle of the pack. But yards per carry,
which is all that matters, in my opinion.
They're not good. And then to couple with the stat you referenced in success rate, not yardage, but success rate out of all running backs this year with a minimum of, I don't know, X amount of carries, Kareem Hunt is the second best running back in football. And they got him off the street. So like tonight, in terms of how do we see this game going and all that, Like, I think that's an area, once again, the Chiefs lean heavily on. I think Kareem Hunt's getting 22-plus carries tonight against Tampa. It should be an area that they have success. The weather also seems like it's going to trend into that kind of game. I know usually it's more about the wind than it is the rain or the wet conditions in terms of is it going to impact passing the ball. But you got to keep an eye on that tonight, I think, out at Arrowhead, given the weather forecast for earlier pregame and I'm sure what will impact the first quarter more than it will the rest of the game. I just think from the Chiefs' offensive perspective, yeah, running the ball should be, once again, a huge point of this offense. And then on the Bucs end, we all know the injuries for them. I mean, much different matchup going in. This was building up to be a huge Monday Night Football game. Chiefs are now 9.5-point favorites. There's no Chris Godwin. There's no Mike Evans. I don't think this is going to be nearly the kind of football game and tough of a matchup as it could have been 3.5 weeks ago.
I might be wrong. It's just like when I look at this team, and maybe I'm just every once in a while, about once a month, I don't go like full Bob, but I become overly confident in what they are. Like tonight, it just feels like I'm like, all right, Kareem Hunt's going to have a couple touchdowns. Trent McDuffie's going to get his first interception and they're just going to win 30-10. They do not do that, but one time every year, singular. I mean, that's it. It's one time a year for the Chiefs. They don't go through a run like the Lions are going through right now where they've just been kicking the teeth into teams or like the Bills have done maybe to three teams this year. The Ravens have done to 2 to 3 teams already this year. They have more losses in Kansas City, but have just run away on a team a couple of times this year. One time a year, they just beat up a team. And it just feels like most of the time when you get these teams like the Bucs, who have been scratching and surviving despite all of the water that they have taken on, eventually they're just going to fall flat. And while Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes are probably responsible for one of the single most entertaining college football games of all time, and Baker Mayfield has certainly made the most out of being without some of these weapons for the Bucs, I just feel like it's going to turn midnight. They can bounce back next week and all these things come into play. But to be a team that doesn't stop the run well and Kansas City runs the ball well, to a team that relies on the run, especially now that those wide receivers are hurt against the number one run defense, this feels like a favorable matchup for Kansas City, more so than even last week's matchup in some ways.
The Chiefs, though, other than the Bears game last year, the last time the Chiefs just like completely blew out an opponent was the Bears game. And so maybe you think they're due, but that's just typically not what they've done. But at the same time, last Tuesday or Wednesday on the show, we went through the last four games for Kansas City, and they've won by a touchdown or more in all those. But they also only have one where it was or two that were double digits. And so if you're thinking you want to add it to the Niners game, they won 28-18. And then, of course, the Saints game.
And the Raiders was really close.
I do think tonight could be a lot like that Saints game on the Monday night when it was 26-13. It was the night of the divisional round game where the Royals game was going on. We were trying to watch two games at once. Yeah, not a stressful Chiefs game. Maybe it was not stressful for the Chiefs because we were all stressing out the Royals. I don't know. Maybe that's why it seemed less stressful. But they were a Juju Smith-Schuster tip pass in the end zone away from really extending that lead and having that be the first real blowout the Chiefs have had in a calendar year. Tonight we'll give our official game predictions in the 1 o'clock hour. But I think you guys can kind of tell where it sounds like you're trending as well for this one. I don't think the Chiefs will end up covering the 9.5. I just think it's very difficult to cover. We've won by 10 in the NFL. Yeah, it's they've done it twice this year, but it's just really tough to do that. It's typically one of those where the Chiefs also kind of pack it in later in the game if they feel good about their defense and that the Bucs aren't able to do anything. We'll know very early on in the game whether or not the Bucs are capable of hanging around, and even in that first drive, because typically that's when teams do have success against the Chiefs' defense is the first drive of the game. If they can't even do that tonight against the defense, then good luck.
We did this for game one, so I'm curious for game two. What is your stat line prediction for DeAndre Hopkins tonight?
Okay.
We did that for week one. You ended up being, yours just like slowly increased day by day because we got closer to the game. And you're like, hey, you know what? And I think we were all, let's just ballpark it, in the 4 for 50 range. And I thought he was going to have a touchdown. He didn't have that. He's about half of that on the yardage total. What is our official predictions for DeAndre Hopkins in game two as a starter? Because that's the biggest swing for what is the offense going forward is just how good is DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, he's a professional wide receiver. He's going to handle the job. But to what level is he? I'm in that same range, like 4 for 60. I think he's going to play 65% of the snaps. I do think they'll try to find him in the red zone again this week. I don't know if they'll find a touchdown, but for the same reason that I just told you, I think that they might just run away with it. I think it's like a 2-3 touchdown night maybe for Mahomes too, if it's not Kareem who's getting 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he had two catches for, what, 20-something yards last time.
29, I think is what it was.
But they were key catches to move the sticks. You would think the snap count is, of course, up another week plus in the system.
It has to be. Yeah.
Getting to know that. You know, going up against a Bucs team that, you know, I wonder if where their focus will be, if they're going to try to key in on the run more, or will they just focus perhaps more in on shutting down Travis Kelce in this game because Kelce started to get going the last 2 weeks. Yeah, as far as stat line, I mean, I think he ends up with 5 or 6 targets in this game. So let's call it 5 catches for 70 yards or so.
You think
that's where I'm at.
You think it's touchdown?
That's such a fickle stat.
Would you bet an anytime touchdown for DeAndre Hopkins?
Not with the value that it's at, okay. No.
That was a better way to ask that question.
Yeah, I mean, not with the value. I mean, I can pull it up. Anytime touchdowns tonight, you know, who would you rather bet on to get touchdowns based off of some of the numbers that are out on the board?
Kareem's probably favored, isn't he?
Over at FanDuel,
he's minus 200.
Touchdown score really. Props. Kareem Hunt minus 180, Kelce plus 115, Hop 180. I'd almost rather bet Xavier Worthy at plus 220 instead of Hopkins. I could see Worthy on a jet sweep or something tonight gets a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Worthy's got 5 touchdowns on the year.
He's found
like
the end. Yeah, he's found the end zone. I mean, if you want to go way further down the board and you just think, hey, it's going to be one.
Justin
of those,
Watson revenge.
Justin Watson
revenge game.
Well, I don't know revenge, but 6-1.
He's a buck.
Yeah.
What about Noah Gray?
This is what's crazy. FanDuel still has Jody Fortson on the board. Please don't bet on Jody. No, look, it'll get voided because he doesn't play. He is on the IR, and you can still bet Fortson 17-1. Something
I'm
tells
pass
me.
On that one.
Can they give me a two-way market on that? No, I'm going to bet no that
it's
he does
Stone
not
Cold.
Get one.
He's going to flip the thing off of the wheelchair, and this was
it
all
has both.
A big.
They have Jody Fortson and Jared Wiley still on the board to get a touchdown. They both are out for the season.
Able.
I want to update that. That's the problem. This is the live market now. If this is why I wish they offered like two-way markets, but again, the player has
to actually.
I bet
the no pretty fast there.
The player has to actually.
I think that one would also get voided.
The player actually has to play in the game, you know, in order for it to even be an eligible bet. But any interesting.
I mean, that makes sense. Someone said, bet the anytime touchdown for D-Hop. You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying you can't get a touchdown. Just at plus 180. Oh, first touchdown? 10-1. That's more intriguing. Got enough juice where
the same problem with the Chiefs, though. I hate betting Chiefs first touchdowns because
they kick off.
They're letting up a touchdown on like 80% of opening drives, and they kick the ball to the other team like every time they get to win the coin flip.
And they keep winning the coin toss, too. But it's happening again.
I wish that they would do so. The NBA does this. The NBA does first team basket score. So you can do first basket score. Then you can do first team basket score.
I mean, you can do first Chiefs touchdown. I mean, that exists.
Are you able to do that?
On some books, yeah. You're not going to get as good of odds. Right. But there's some books you can do.
You might be 5-1 for Hopkins
like
instead of 10.
First team touchdown score, you can do that. Kareem Hunt for his team is plus 230, whereas by it's plus 410 across the entire game. So it's cut in half.
Second plus, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get 5-6-1 on D-Hop if you went that way. Drew, you going to finally go to a Chiefs game tonight? We got to get you to one this year.
You got a press pass. Nice, warm, cozy press box for you. You haven't been to Arrowhead before?
Have not.
Before it gets really cold?
This sounds like an automatic no coming here.
I think that next week the Broncos game is the one.
Broncos noon Sunday game, huh?
Bo Nix. Yeah.
Yeah, I will not be there tonight.
Plus, the game might mean a little bit more for me individually as well, depending on how Thursday goes.
Oh, that's what this is. You have a Sunday where your Bengals aren't playing. The Bengals aren't playing tonight.
If the Bengals beat the Ravens on Thursday and the Chiefs beat the Broncos, the Bengals are the 7th seed.
Drew, I don't want this to come off as attacking.
Here we go again.
I don't want this to come off as like Cody's just picking on Drew to do this. I'm not just saying this to get a rise out of you like I think maybe other people in this station would do. I'm not just doing it to get a rise out of you. Cincinnati is fraudulent. They are not a good football team. Their only wins are against really not just bad, like the worst. Like, go. Can you just do me a quick favor? Can you pull up the current draft order? Can you pull up the current draft order for the teams picking in the top 10 of the 2025 NFL draft for me?
They're all in there.
Just real quick.
I've got it.
All right. New England, where were they ranked? That's one of
Cincinnati. They would be drafting first overall.
First overall. Okay. They lost. Sorry, let me get to their wins now. Panthers.
Fourth.
Giants. Raiders.
Seventh.
Browns.
Fifth.
Raiders.
Sixth.
I mean, dude. That is a fraudulent resume. To be 4-5 and only beat teams that have a combined like 8 or 9 wins.
It'll make it that much more embarrassing when the Bills lose to them when they're the 7 seed and the Bills are the 2.
They got to try to get to the playoffs.
I told
first.
Gold last week, and I firmly believe this is all I'll say about it. If they make the playoffs, they will win the game, and then they will play the Chiefs. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Chiefs. They will beat the 2 seed, and they will play the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
I love the confidence.
Year, look, if they make it.
I love the confidence. We don't need to rehash this, but it is funny to me that for a 4-win team, you can be so confident to say, oh, they'll beat the 2 seed, no problem.
They
you know, the 2 seed, that could be Baltimore or Buffalo, no problem. Or the Texans even. No problem. They'll beat them. Your team is a 4-win team right now, and you're That's so fine. Confident that That's they're going to beat the number 2 seed in the AFC?
Hey, Eli Manning
on the road, too. On the road.
Eli Manning won the Super Bowl with a 9-win team.
Let's pick the most outlier of outliers possible.
And Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, he is.
That's all I'm saying.
Eli Manning's maybe a future Hall of Famer, 2-time Super Bowl.
I'm sorry, Drew, but I got to say it. I hope on Thursday the Ravens just put your team out of their misery. I'm sorry.
I'm sure
Ravens aren't getting the number 1 seed anyway. I hope the Ravens just beat the Bengals on Thursday night and put you out of your misery. That way you don't get false hope the next 2.5 months. Put them out of their misery.
I'll tell you right now, if the Bengals do make the playoffs and they beat the 2 seed, the Chiefs should be scared spitless of the Cincinnati. I said it from the jump, and I'm consistent with it. There's one team.
Yeah, they're going to be scared of
there
the.
Is
they're
going to
be.
One
they're going to be scared of the team they beat 3 times in a row.
I just like
7 seed Cincinnati.
Like we could have all these hypotheticals. The truth is, like again, not to like, they're just a bad team. They just have a soft schedule. They're playing a last place schedule.
And your quarterback is very good. That's true, but the team sucks.
I know, but the season restarts in the playoffs, boys. It's always that way.
I don't think they're ever getting.
It's always that way.
That's the point. I don't think they're getting the playoffs.
You just said the schedule's softer. I like it. The fact that, you know.
No, it's already been
the
soft.
The Colts don't know who the quarterback is. They're having issues. The Broncos, we all think, are fake.
I mean,
compared to what the record
that.
Was.
I mean, look, there's still plenty of games that are winnable.
Yeah, Chargers, Colts, Ravens will be the wild card teams. It's already solidified. It's already done. Chargers, Colts, Ravens, wild card teams. Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll get back into
today.
Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha's new 3-year deal to stay in Kansas City.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.